Are you, like me, riding the roller coaster of midlife and menopause and eager to get back to living your best life? Are you tired of low energy, a short temper, and endless self-doubt? Well, it's time to stress less and shine more. It's time to ditch the worry, reclaim your mojo, and unleash your inner brilliance. It's never too late to transform, and you're certainly not too old. And in my opinion, midlife and menopause provide the perfect opportunity to do just that. Join me each week for inspiring stories and expert insights on topics covering all things midlife, menopause, and personal development. So when you're ready, let the beautiful menomorphosis begin. Hello and welcome back to Menomorphosis. How are you? I hope you're having a good week. It's so good here down on the South Coast that has finally stopped raining. The sun has come out and my goodness, it just makes you feel so much better, doesn't it? When you get a little bit of sunshine, there's not so much mud. I am really loving it. It feels like it's about time though, to be honest. Okay, so this week I am doing another solo episode. I'm going to do it's kind of part two from last week's episode, which was all about how to assess your breathing to see if you are breathing in a really healthy way or you're breathing dysfunctionally. Now, the good news is there is a lot out there at the moment. Well, there's more and more coming out at the moment, generally on Instagram, in the news, about breathing. Its profile is really increasing, which is fantastic because the more of us who know how to breathe better and are aware of it, we can then start to find out how we're breathing and we can then put things in place to actually improve our breathing because it is so important. So last week I shared with you how to assess your breathing by just noticing your breath, becoming really aware of how you're breathing. We also talked through counting your respiratory rate and also through something called the Bolt score. That awareness piece though, that understanding of your breath is really the first place to start. It is incredibly important. So I'd really encourage you to continue getting really curious with your resting baseline breath and just noticing how does it change during the day, depending on where you are, who you're with, what you're doing. Is there a time where you are much more relaxed with your breath? Or is there a time where you notice that actually you're breathing much more in your upper chest, you get a little bit out of breath, you're sighing more? So what we're going to be looking at in today's episode, in this week's episode, is how we can start to practice and cultivate healthy functional breathing patterns and breathing habits. So if last week, once you did those assessments, you were like, oh, okay, I feel like I could really improve how I breathe. Perhaps your Bolt score was really low. Perhaps your respiratory rate was really fast. Perhaps you were noticing that most of your breathing is in your upper chest. Perhaps you get told that you snore. Honestly, making some changes to how you breathe can make all the difference to everything really, to how you sleep, to how you feel, to your stress response, to your energy levels, so much. Okay, so I'm going to try and keep this as simple as possible because I do find that a lot of the information out there is all quite dry and not that much that interesting to listen to. So I'm going to try my hardest to keep it super simple, make this easy to understand, and really hopefully encourage you to just make a few little tweaks to your breath and see really how it can improve. So when it comes to building a healthy and functional breathing pattern, we really do have to come down to the basics. And really, there are four simple rules. And those four rules are breathe through your nose, breathe light, breathe slow, and breathe deep. So those are the four things I'm going to be talking about today in more detail. So that you can practice breathing in a way that really is going to support you to feel as good as you can. So as I mentioned In last week's episode, we take over 20,000 breaths every single day. That's so many breaths. And each one of those breaths it has a job. What it's doing, it's sending a signal back to our body through our nervous system to our brain to shift in a certain direction. So there's this continuous conversation going on between our body and our mind through the nervous system, and the breath is a big part of that. So if we're not breathing in a way that is optimal and that is functional, then what we can be doing is just sending potentially damaging, harmful signals back to our body and brain simply by how we're breathing. So it's really, really essential to create and practice healthy, functional breathing habits. So let's start by talking about the nose. So I mentioned this last week. We should all be breathing through our noses rather than our mouths. The mouth is for eating, and really the nose is for breathing. And the reason for this is the nose is smaller than the mouth. It's a smaller passage to breathe through. So it naturally slows the breath down, which is really great for regulating our nervous system. If we're breathing in too much air, which we tend to do through the mouth, then it puts us into a state of hyperarousal. It kind of puts us into a more of a stress state because we are breathing more than we need to. Secondly, the nose filters and humidifies the air before it reaches the lungs. So it gets the air really into its optimal state to reach our lungs. If you think about all the nasties in the air that we breathe, all the pollutants and all of that sort of, all the dirt, the nose is actually cleaning that before we actually take it into the body. If you're breathing through your mouth, all of that is coming in as well. And finally, when we breathe through the nose, we get this pooling of something called nitric oxide. And it kind of pulls into your nasal cavity, which is actually really very big. If you think about the roof of your mouth, your whole nasal cavity sits on top of that. And what happens when we get this nitric oxide, when we breathe through our nose, is that it's a really potent vasodilator. So what does that mean? It basically means it helps to open up our blood vessels, which means that we get an increased blood flow and lower blood pressure, which is really good because it means that we get more oxygen through our blood, moving through our body with much more ease, lowering our blood pressure. The body doesn't have to work so hard to get the oxygen around. There's a good acronym which is used in the breathwork world, which we can refer to for optimal functional breathing, and that is LSD. Now, it has nothing to do with psychedelic drugs. Basically, what it stands for light, L, S for slow, and D for deep. So all we have to remember is breathe through the nose and LSD, light, slow, and deep. So let's start with the slow and deep part first. I'm going to come back to the light. Basically, the low and deep part refers to diaphragmatic breathing, which sometimes can be called belly breathing, but we're breathing using our diaphragm and using our rib cage, and this really allows us to slow and deepen the breath. So many of us have fallen into this unhealthy habit of breathing short, shallow, and sharp breaths right into the chest. And what happens when we do this is that we're not using the full capacity of our respiratory system. And as well as that, chest breathing, as we've talked about before, is associated with our body's stress response. We can be unknowingly contributing to our own stress and anxiety if we are constantly shallow breathing. So it is vital that we try and breathe deeper and slower using the diaphragm. So we want to be breathing diaphragmatically. Now, if you're not sure what the diaphragm is, basically it's a smooth sheet of muscle that sits just under your rib cage, and it's our main breathing muscle. And it is it's really important for breathing. Problem is, sometimes it just doesn't get enough of a workout, because if you're breathing from your chest, this muscle can get quite rigid. So what we want is, when we breathe in, we want to feel the expansion of the belly and even expansion into the side of the ribs as well, and then a gentle fall on the exhale. We should feel that those ribs move sort of sideways, but also front and back. It's like a 360 degrees movement with our rib cage. But the belly kind of should expand as we breathe in. Okay, so what happens when we do this is that we start to calm and regulate our nervous system through also stimulating something called the vagus nerve. Now, the vagus nerve is crucial for keeping balance in the body, and it plays a role in other numerous physiological processes, which include helping to regulate the parasympathetic nervous system, which, that's, remember, is your rest and digest part of your nervous system. So the vagus nerve really is so important, and it also controls the muscles involved in breathing and helps regulate the rate and depth of breathing. So we really do want this, our diaphragms, to be moving in and out, because it helps then also stimulate the vagus nerve. The easiest way to understand all of this is just to try it out for yourself. So I'm just going to talk you through how to breathe diaphragmatically. So just find yourself in a comfortable position. You can be seated or lying down. Just make yourself as comfortable as you can. And once you've found that position, again, if you like, you can just gently close your eyes. You don't have to, but just start to shift your attention inwards. And as you close your eyes, if you choose to, just bringing your awareness into the body. Allow the body to come to a place of stillness. And as you do so, just becoming aware of any sensations that you can feel. Really take this opportunity just to check in with yourself. Now from here, just shifting your awareness to your breath. Just following the flow of the inhale and the exhale. And an invitation now is to place your hands on either side of your ribs. So just place them on the either side of your ribs, if you can feel them. And from here, all I want you to do now is just to start to slow the breath down. So this doesn't have to be to any specific count. Your focus here is breathing in and out of the nose and deeply into your lower belly and feeling the expansion of the rib cage sideways. And also, kind of, it should be like a 360 degrees expansion, if that kind of makes sense. And you should feel that on the inhale and that gentle fall of the belly as you exhale, and the rib cage then contracts. So gradually beginning to deepen and lengthen the breath all in and out of the nose. So you can, if you like, also put one hand on the belly, and you should just feel it gently rise and fall with each breath. So just take some breaths like this. And as you start to gradually slow the breath down, perhaps you may notice a real sense of relaxation, a sense of stillness. And one way you can tell if you are moving into a more relaxed state, and if your nervous system is moving into the parasympathetic branch of your nervous system, is that you'll get kind of a more saliva in your mouth, you'll get a bit more of a water in your mouth. That's a real sign that you're going into the parasympathetic. And just also noticing if it just becomes easier to breathe more deeply the more you do it. If you're used to breathing quite short and shallow breaths, it can feel a little bit challenging to breathe all the way down into the belly at points. So just go gently with yourself. Just go gradually, gradually. Don't judge yourself. You know, there's never a wrong time to start this. You can start now. Just meet yourself where you're at. The amazing thing with all of this is that the body can adapt so quickly when we show it how to do something, it really doesn't take long for it to make those adaptations. So just notice it, how it feels to breathe like this, and just notice how you feel. So you can keep practicing this as often as you can. Obviously, the more you can breathe in this way, the more you'll create the neural pathways, the new neural pathways, and it will just become what you do. And the healthier your breathing will become, and the better you're going to feel. When we breathe slowly, we are obviously naturally lowering our respiratory rate. We are helping to regulate our nervous system to a place of calm and balance naturally, which is only going to be a good thing for your general levels of stress and anxiety, for your quality of sleep, and so on. As I keep banging on about, honestly, until you do it, it's hard to really know the effects it's going to have on every part of your life. But it really, really does. Particularly if you're someone who suffers with allergies or with asthma, changing your breath pattern and breathing in this way is going to, I promise you, it's going to really, really help. Also, you know, we know that this is absolutely fundamental. Breathing is fundamental for a healthy, regulated nervous system. So if you're someone who feels constantly on edge, you feel stressed a lot of the time, then this really is something you need to be thinking about. Okay, so now we're going to come on to the L of the LSD acronym. So this stands for light. Now, I know you're probably thinking, okay, how can I breathe lightly and breathe deeply? Well, there's this common misconception that a deep breath is the same as a big breath. We get told when we were young, you know, take a deep breath, followed by someone taking this huge, often chest-focused breath. When in actual fact, that's not what we're looking for. We can breathe deeply using the diaphragm to get a really lovely, nice, full expansion into the belly and the side ribs while still maintaining a light and gentle breath. And this does take practice, but it is absolutely possible. So, why is it important to breathe lightly and gently? Well, the reason for this is that when we breathe heavily, like, even if we're breathing in a nasal diaphragmatic way, we can often, as I've said before, we can be over-breathing, which simply means we're breathing beyond our body's requirements at that time. We're getting rid of too much carbon dioxide from our system. When we over-breathe and reduce the amount of carbon dioxide actually in our body, in our system, what we're doing is we're actually restricting blood flow to the brain and also oxygen delivery to ourselves and to our tissues. And it can also harm our natural ability to tolerate carbon dioxide. Remember, I talked about this last week when we were doing the Bolt test. So when we train ourselves and practice breathing lightly and gently, almost silently, when we're just resting, then what we're doing is we're balancing in an optimal way the biochemistry of our blood. So that is the balance of carbon dioxide and oxygen in our bodies. The carbon dioxide is what actually releases the oxygen from our blood. It's that triggers that process. So let's have a little practice. Now, if you like, again, you can just close your eyes for this. Just allow yourself to settle into the space and see if you can just, you know, again, just allow yourself to come to a place of stillness. So consciously now, beginning to breathe more deeply and more slowly with each breath, but also this time, focusing on that gentle, light quality of the breath. And it should feel that although you're breathing deeply, you're breathing much more gently than you usually would. Because what we don't want is you to be breathing deeply, but breathing really heavily, because you're still going to be bringing in a huge amount of air in. That's not what we want. We want to reduce the amount of air that you are taking in, if that makes sense. So just breathing much more gently than you usually would, almost to the point where you feel like you need to take a bigger breath. There's perhaps a feeling that you want to take a bigger breath, but just see if you can maintain that gentle, light, slow and deep breath all through the nose. Okay, and this might not be perfect this first time you try it, so just allow yourself to make this a practice of just getting really curious and perhaps even almost playful with your breath, playing around with how light you can make the breath while still maintaining a smooth, calm and deep quality to it. And you should almost just barely feel the hairs of your nose or the nostrils move. It is that light. And if you get to a point where you do need to take a bigger breath, then you can just do that. Just do that, reset, and then start with that light, slow and deep breathing again. And again, you should start to feel a sense of calm, a sense of peace with each round of breath. So just practice that a few times. And then just take a moment to reflect on how was that for you. And just be really honest with yourself about how did it make you feel? Did you find it easy? Did you find it difficult? Perhaps you're feeling a little bit unsure whether this actually works, maybe a little bit unclear. And just know that all of that is absolutely perfectly fine. This is all part of the practice, and it's all a part of the practice of creating and creating these new, healthy, optimal breathing habits. So again, I invite you to practice this LSD breathing through your nose as often as you can. You know, perhaps in the morning for 5-10 minutes, perhaps in the evening. I often do it when I first kind of get into bed. We put the lights off and maybe just, 10 minutes. And it's such a lovely, relaxing thing to do just before you go to sleep. Perhaps you can do it whilst waiting in a queue at the bus stop, you're waiting to pick up a child. Just do it whenever you can. It will really help to lower that respiratory rate and improve your vault score and all of the other things we've talked about: better sleep, better mental clarity, better performance during exercise, and so much more. I have actually switched to nasal breathing for exercise. So when I go to the gym, when I do strength training, and also for running. And I'm probably nearly 6 months into doing this. And I'm not going to lie, it has been tough. And I've really had to really slow down with the running. I had to get my ego out of the way. And it was almost like starting again. But now, 6 months in, I'm pretty much back to where I was. And I mean, in the gym, I always nasal breathe now. And I promise you, my recovery, I'm sure, is so much better. When I finish a run, I'm not kind of doing the whole kind of breathing. I just sort of finish the run and it's kind of done. And it allows me, I find, to just get into that feeling of flow so much more easily. That's the word. So I really would invite you to give it a go. It does take patience and it does take time. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, 6 months isn't a huge amount of time. And it can really help improve your performance. Lots of athletes nowadays are discovering that nasal breathing can actually give them the edge. And there's lots of resources out there which can help you make that switch. But yeah, if you're interested, I'd be very happy to talk through how I've done it. Just get in touch with me if you would like to hear more. So let's just have a little recap. The ideal breath should be through the nose, so nose, and then light. So we want to be breathing gently and silently. So this helps to regulate our nervous system and balance the levels of oxygen and carbon dioxide in our system. We want it to be slow. So that's about reducing your respiratory rate. It brings a sense of calm and balance to your nervous system. And we want it to be deep. And that refers to breathing led by the diaphragm, using the full capacity of your respiratory system, which helps again to regulate your nervous system. I hope you have found that helpful. I hope that wasn't too dry for you, but I do really feel it's important that we are aware of this, because Patrick McEwen, who I trained with, he's been talking about this for 20 years, and quite rightly was getting really frustrated that no one was picking up on it. One of the biggest factors is children. So many children breathe through their mouths. And there was a massive study done which discovered that a huge, huge proportion of the percentage of those children, of children who breathe through their mouths, will be diagnosed with some sort of learning disability later on in life. So it affects everything. So yes, this is something we need to think about if we want to feel well. And also, as I said in last week's episode, as we go through menopause, our breathing is affected. Our hormones have a part to play in how we breathe. So yes, I will stop banging my drum now, and I hope this has been helpful. If you want to find out any more information, if you would like help with your breathing, if you feel like you could actually do with a few sessions to help you breathe better, please do get in touch. I would absolutely love to discuss this with you. You can email me at info@pollywarren. You can come over to Instagram at pollywarrencoaching. And as always, I love to hear from you, and I reply to all my messages. Have a wonderful week, and I hope that you are going to be breathing better from now on. Take lots of care. Remember, you are incredible, and I can't wait to chat to you next time. Lots of love. Bye.